Reading again the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that second verse, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Again, before we get into the message this morning, let me point out to you, as you read the psalm and study the psalm, you find that it's what he does. It's what he is. It's what he thinks. This is what possesses the thinking of this man, David. Now, for the last 4 Sundays, we've been dealing with this psalm. We found the first verse, if we were to reduce it to one word, we would say assurance. And this has to be the base for anything that's successful in the natural as well as the spiritual world, and especially in the spiritual world. I knew a man, some of you that have been with us for years, and I can't call his name, but he was a marvelous trumpet player. He had a musical doctorate. He was first cousin to the man who they knew as Bob of the Good Ship Grace. But this dear man, while his parents left him money, they never taught him how to be an efficient person. He soon spent his money, and with that tremendous education, with his talent, he became a bum. The Burge family kept him. We kept him. Many kept him. And he died finally in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. The nurse called me and said, he told her, call Pastor Hill. He's the only man in the world that I think loves me. He had no assurance. He had ability. He had the tools. But he didn't have any confidence. Now the Christian has base for a perfect confidence. I don't care what you face. I don't care what rises up against you. You have a base to meet anything. Watch God send a man called Moses to a man from whom he had fled in fear. And with nothing but a dead staff, bring that greatest of nations at that time to its knees and to its death. Again and again and again and again, God preserved history of marvelous things, miracles, outstanding achievements. And in every case, the Bible tells us, he did it for our sakes, upon whom has come the end of the age. Why did God preserve that history for you? So that you could say with the Apostle Paul, he has said, I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. If God be for us, is he? Can you look at Calvary and say he's not for us? Can you look at history and say he's not for us? Well, if he be for us, who? Just put who you want to in there. Can be against us. On my side, I'm a majority, no matter what would be against me. God can take one man and whip the world if he wanted to. You see, it isn't our numbers. It isn't our money. It isn't our education. It isn't our color. It isn't our place in society. It's our faith in God that does it. Now, so we pointed out the first verse. It took us three Sunday mornings. If I, Lord tarries, and I ever preach it again, I might have to preach five or six. Because this grows on you. It's like God. It increases. But assurance. Bless your heart, any of you. God will back you 100% because that's what he gave for you, everything he had. He didn't have anything outside of Christ. For all things were made by him and for him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And all things consist or hold together by him. So you have everything when you took Christ. You just need to wake to what you've got. But then we came to the second verse. And it deals with divine providence. Let me say it like this. What is God's thought for you? Do you know? You won't know unless you get beyond these no doctrine peoples and so on. God's thought for you is that you make up the bride of Christ. Be spiritually wed to him and rule and reign with him throughout the ages of eternity. Paul had a revelation and he said, if sons, he said, we're heirs. Now everybody understands that a child is an heir. But he went further than that. He said, and a joint heir with Christ, if so be that we suffer together with him. He told, Paul told Timothy, Timothy was shrinking and drawn back from the pathway that God had for him. And he said, now, Timothy, if you deny God, that is, if you deny him the right to lead you in to the path he's ordained for you, he'll have to deny you the right to rule and reign with him. The subject of salvation isn't in that text at all. So what's his thought for you? Are you going to scale the mountain by your own? Why, you'll find out like David and like others. Why, he makes my feet like hinds' feet. I run through a troop. I leap over the wall. He makes my arms strong like steel bands. He enables me. With my hind feet, he sets me on my high places. Isaiah said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. That fourth and fifth chapter of the book of Revelation, you see those people that have six wings. They found their wings. Well, you all have wings, as the dear old ballad written by a black man years ago, all God's chillens got wings. They all have wings, but most of us are like a doodle bird. We never use them, so they just dry up. Dear hearts, we have come now to the providence. What's God willing to be to my everyday life? David said they were green pastures and still waters. We pointed out that the greatest victory that any of us can ever know is to stay in the land, or where God puts us, our shepherd has us, no matter what it looks like. And we agreed that the pastures sometimes do dry up and the pools fail, thus exhausting the visible things where he may put us. But then he has better pastures. If God lets something dry up where you are, learn all things work together for good to them that love him. And he's leading you to something better. It's always that way, but we've been taught to throw up our hands and quit. God's forsaken me. Now the just do live by faith. God has a plan for you, but that plan will never be fulfilled apart from your cooperation. Now you remember that. And so, the pasture may fail, but the shepherd never fails. You realize that? You can exhaust the pasture, but you don't exhaust the Creator. He didn't need fine pastures to feed. The pasture may fail, but the shepherd never fails. You realize that? You can exhaust the pasture, but you don't exhaust the Creator. He didn't need fine pastures to feed the millions and their herds and their birds and such in the wilderness. He just took them out there and fed them for 40 years without a visible means. Can he take care of you? Features, the outward features of life may not be to our liking. We'll face trouble, distress, perplexity, but we'll never be forsaken. We'll never be in despair. And all of this enriches the child of God who realizes the end of life. Because the end of life is not your personal happiness, but the image and the glory of God. That's what God's after, and if you would ever get your eyes open, that's what you'd be after. But note, he maketh me. He maketh me. Isn't that a statement? He leadeth me. And so the good shepherd never compels, but he persuades. He's not going to make you take what he has for you. If he did, he'd be a respecter of persons. He came along here to Dean, and he made him take it. But Andrew, he wouldn't make him take it. So one day, Dean ends up with the best. Andrew ends up without the best. Would that make him a respecter of persons? Of course. It would. But he is not a respecter of persons, as we'll find out. Now, he won't drive the sheep, but he'll lead the sheep. And the sheep know his voice, he said, and they follow him. Now the words maketh, I know, may sound like compulsion, and yet they describe the purpose of divine providence. Like our daughter Ida Fern said, he won't make you. He'll just make you wish you had. And so the plan he has for me And his provision is to bring his purpose to pass. And so no one can reconcile the idea of guiding with violence. The truth is, God rules in providence the same as he does in grace. So by any and all means, he will draw me, and yet he'll never force me. We said a man wouldn't be a man without a will, no more than God would be a God without a will. So there is the will of God. That means that which is love, grace, power, mercy, and marvelous eternal plan desires for me. And so, the decrees of God is that which finally accomplishes what is possible for me. He'll bring it to pass. There he is. There comes that giant. David, go on out there and meet him. I'll take care of you. How did David meet him? A giant came roaring out. Great spear, sword, shield, armor. Israel fled to their tents. He laughed. Why, I'll feed you to the birds. Oh, you uncircumcised Philistine, you defy the armies of the living God. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to feed you to the birds. Did he? Wonder who aimed that rock. Wonder who gave it the impact. Why, that poor old giant didn't have a speck of a chance. Not even a slight chance. The only way he could have a chance was to strike fear to David's heart. And perfect love casts out all fear. So, think of this word lead. No one is compelled to follow a guide. So the Bible shows many times the wandering of Israel and different individuals. Israel at Kadesh Barnea refused to follow their guide. And while his purpose for that generation never came to pass and their bones bleached in the wilderness, still he never abandoned them in that wilderness. And so we see the wandering and the straying sheep. But nowhere is it assumed that by straying and wandering that a sheep turns to a goat, or worse, to an ass. Now the pathetic plea of Jesus to Israel was, you remember, I'm come that you might have life, but you won't come to me that you might have life. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, there's many times I would have taken you to me, but you won't. What's the purpose of God not willing that any should perish? What's the purpose of God as to the truth of his people? That all should come to a knowledge of the truth. My church don't believe that. As one fellow said to me, does Charlie Fuller believe that? I said, of course he doesn't. Well, if he doesn't believe it, I don't want to believe it. Charlie Fuller won't meet God for you. And Brother Hill won't meet God for you. And I don't know of anyone that's going to meet God for you. You're going to meet God for you. See? Now, let's go on. Let's look back at the past just a little bit. And let's ask ourselves certain questions. What is my share in my present position? Charlie, would you be sitting there if you'd had your way? No. You had a chance. God had you fixed up pretty good. And then you took off, and you lost everything in the process. So what is my attainment? How do I share that I happen to be up here loving the Lord and going with God? How have I used my opportunities? How have I improved my talents? Is there any feeling of regret or loss? Have I always consulted my shepherd? Have I never gone the way of my own heart? Do I sometimes feel I might have been more useful? In some things we're not the makers of our own history, I'm sure. For example, our birth, our parentage. You know, as a child, I was so poor, so poor. I'd see someone have something, kids have something. You never went through that, did you, David? And I'd say, oh, if my parents had just been rich. And my daddy just hadn't have died. I didn't have any choice about it. I didn't have any choice about my birth, my parentage, my natural talent, my bodily shape. Would you like to have been 6 foot tall, Brother Hill? Well, I don't know. People are sure surprised when they see this little old short guy. No one ever pictures me to be like I am. They hear my voice on the radio and things, and they don't think, why, and they see me, and is that him? Well, in some ways, our character, but certainly the irreversible and the irredeemable lot which he who maketh all things after the counsel of his own will ordained for us before the world, in that we have a choice. And we accept or we set God's will for us aside. Now you're going to do one of the two. You embrace his will, I know exactly what's going to happen. You set his will aside for your will, I don't know what will happen. God help you, that's all I got to say. So providence maps the way. And promotion cometh not from the east or the west or the south, but it comes from the Lord of hosts. But it is for us to run with patience. Now he sets the path. We run with patience the race set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. He too, in the garden, said, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Which was the best? That glory that he had with the Father before the worlds were, or the glory that he's going to have when multiplied millions come to worship him? Which was the best? Which is going to be the best for you? Now you see, we're talking about you. We're trying to help you. We're trying to improve you. We're trying to bring you to that inevitable day with the best that God is offering for your life. Well, Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. But then he said, I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was present with me. So God had the plan. It led through prisons. It led to whippings. It led to hunger. It led to nakedness. It led to perils. It led to the hatred of his countrymen. It led to the rejection of those that should have loved him. But I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I don't know what your course is. I just know what'll happen. I just know where it's pointed. I know the fruit of it. God's no respecter of persons. I'm going to say that several times. Huh? Point out how that the verse, and I'll get to that now. He maketh me. Me. Not us. But me. David isn't describing his care for the entire flock, though there is no question as to his understanding that God cared for all his children. So while I'm sure he makes provision for all of his sheep, it's me that is emphasized here. He makes me. Oh, so many are interested in him making you. Huh? Brother Hill, did you hear what so-and-so did? Huh. I'm not interested in what so-and-so did. I'm interested in what you did. Someone said, and I know that's a rarity, I'm not going down there. I used to go down there, but Brother Hill has so many black people in there anymore. And I'm not going back down to that church. Well, I said, that's your problem. It sure isn't mine and God's. Huh? Why, God love you. If you don't become my joy and crown, I'm going to be disappointed. Huh? Can't ever tell. He might make me look black like you. Huh? Ah, get up. I gotta kiss you and love you. Makes me love everybody. And you can make up your mind that's not for show. Well, I'll get around here in a minute. About to lose my eyesight. But I'm glad I see the right things. Well, no doubt the verse recalls that time when David led his father Jesse's sheep. And God had called him out to lead his sheep Israel, which the Bible says is his inheritance. At that time, when he was an humble youth, his scepter a crook, his subject sheep and goats, his dominion the wild open fields near Bethlehem and Kedron. And now, the teaching of divine providence is peculiar to Israel and the Christian's God. Didn't you know that? For the gods of the pagan world interfered in man's affairs only for vice and pride, dwelling contemptuously apart from man. Cicero said of it, "The gods care for great things, but not for the little." He didn't know about our God, did he? No. But many preachers, I'd have to say, are like that. Oh, yeah. I'm talking about people that can tell you how to be born again. that guy, well, he's got money. Whew, you don't want to offend him. Oh, let's make him a top-notch guy. Huh? You know what that is, don't you? If you don't, you haven't been around very much. What about that fella that used to run Riverside Baptist and still does? Why don't that fella tell him how he'd been filled with the Holy Ghost? You might have walked out on him. See? Of course, he didn't care if you did. Listen, we'd better get with it. You might cloud this. You might change it, but it won't change. Well, no doctrine so exalts God and dignifies man as that of divine providence. It sets forth God's power and goodness, and it dignifies man by giving each redeemed person his or own personal and inalienable position before God, thus placing the king and the beggar, the great and the common slave, the powerful and the penniless widow, the great conqueror and the helpless pauper, the five-star general and the buck private, on the same level before him with whom there is no respect of persons. So I, from my battered and beaten and unwanted condition, may wonder, does God care for me? Will he help me? Oh, I wish I could tell you how much he will and wants to and can. That's your trouble. You don't know how much he wants to. And you don't know how much he can. So, most of us may know this fact that the microscope and the telescope were invented virtually at the same time. Look in your history and you'll find it out. And so the mighty creator of the countless galaxies simply showed forth to man his omnipotence, and with it he showed the world that was in the drop of water. Didn't you know that? And I don't know how many of you saw that. It's been a few years back. They had one of these little old microscopic gnats. He becomes a gnat when he hatches out of the water. That was that thing that the Pharisee strained out of the water. And they magnified that thing, and some of you may have seen it. They magnified that thing, I forget how many thousand times, and there was a little parasite hanging to his whisker. And he had legs and jaws. The same skill, the same mighty creator, the same God that spoke those galaxies into place went down into that drop of water and created a world. I wonder what he's trying to tell us. Nothing's big or little to him. Don't you know that? So someone set you aside. You're a poor person. You're not educated. You don't belong to the right clique. Oh, you got up out of no dirtier gutter, but the different gutter that I got up out of. So I don't like you. I'm not going to have anything to do with you. Huh? Oh, you better watch out. You're coming in. You're setting yourself down in a big seat. You get off yonder to... Why, you... I don't even want you to sit at the same table, but get down there as far as you can from me. And one day, here comes that great shepherd of the sheep. Say, what are you doing in that chair? Huh? Well, that belongs to that party way down yonder. Go down there and exchange places. You better believe it. I'll tell you, that's going to come to pass. He said it was. I'm glad I read it and said yes before I had to face it. I said, Lord, if that's the way you want it, I'm just happy to have it that way. Hallelujah. That's good enough for me. Well, I'm not a big baby. I don't hurt. I'm just happy. Someone said, well, that preacher blew his nose. Well, you want to watch it run down on my chin? So here I am from my unwanted condition. Oh, praise the Lord. So as all who believe in God must believe in His power, yet what is the sphere of that power? Is it only in the big things? You know better than that, don't you? And then I point out believing in His power is not enough. But is that power for me? Certainly He who knows the hairs in my head, and He does. And who notes the sparrow that falls to the ground, and He does. Must have time for me. Personally. Personally. You see, David, he can give me his undivided attention. Because He's God. Now, someone comes in my office, I've got to make you stay out until I'm through with them. But He entertains us all in the same moment. Everybody can call. Call unto me, all ye. I'll answer you. He's not like the God of Baal, who's gone hunting, sleeping. Now, I'm going to shock some of you. Elijah actually said maybe he's gone to the toilet. That's what he actually said. He don't have time for you. Call on him, call on him. And the time came. No, everything disappeared in a flame. You call. I challenge you to call. That's all you need to do. He knows the beggar you are. But thank God I'm a beggar on the lap of His mercy. Thank God I've learned to put my confidence in Him. People hate me because I put my confidence in Him. Don't you know that? Because it exposes them that they aren't. Well, man is simply more than a hare. He's more than a bird or the beasts of the fields. Man has a soul and a spirit that cries out for God. Man's life is too vast and too solemn to be spent alone. And God made him that way, for He wants man to fellowship Him. He wants man to understand Him. He wants someone to understand how good He is, how loving He is, how tender He is, how gentle He is, how long-suffering He is, how forgiving He is. How many times shall I do it? 7 times? Yea, I say to you, 70 times 7. Could you ever exhaust Him? No. 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 The only thing you can do is refuse Him. Well, I'll close it out here. This gives rise to 2 questions. One, of course, is less, and one of greater moment, and one is the use of a word, and the other the meaning of a truth. And I'm going to deal with the truth, and the truth simply is this. We dishonor God by doubting His full and loving sympathy for His child. If there's no limitation of His infinite power, neither is there any limit of His infinite love. Paul said, "What shall separate us from the love of God?" Oh, you say, "Brother Hill, do you mean He loved me those years when I went astray?" Every moment of it. Every moment of it. What is it that leads us to repentance? God's going to put you in hell. The goodness of God leadeth us to repentance. You need to read the Bible. Don't let some fellow pull the wool over your eyes. But anyway, God can, His power says, and God will, His love says. And just about every page of this Bible is luminous with the doctrine of divine providence, so each scripture alone and all of them put together state the superintendence of God in all things. At all times, for all needs, under all difficulties, in all temporal and spiritual matters. And Paul came at it like this. He said, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Oh, yes, Job says he knows the way I take. He knows the way I take. He knows what's down there. He knows that pitfall. He knows the pressure. And in it all, he knew exactly what was going to happen to Job. He said, "Now, I'm going to give you twice as much." But it didn't look like he was going to get out with anything, didn't it? Reason? Circumstances? Conditions? Why, Job despaired again and again and again. Do you realize he wants to die and he speaks of death something like 700 times? never speaks a lie. What's the bent of our lives? Death, 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 loss, loss, loss. God said, I'm going to bring you out, Job. I'm going to give you twice as much as you had when I started with you. Have you got any idea? Do you have any slight idea what it's going to be like? Him who gives a cold cup of water in the name of a prophet, he's not going to be without a reward. So here you are. There tripped a poor widow up to him one morning, and she just dumped those few mites. Oh, he said, bless her heart. You will look on that widow one day, and I'm going to tell you, she isn't going to be poor. She did what she could. Are you? Huh? So in closing, it's one thing to be infallibly assured of God's love and power. But all of it is of no avail unless I believe it's for me. For me. He maketh me. You mean he's standing over you with a whip, Brother Hill? I, Orville, I have stopped preaching I don't know how many times. I've given it up. You never know. I never tell my family or anybody how many times I've gone to bed and said, Lord, this is it. But then, like the old fire horse that they used to have, the bell rang and he begins to snort and carry on. Oh, yes, you can't get away from it. I don't guess I would have could. I love people too much. And now what you going to do with you? Brother Harrison, I know what I'm going to do with me by the grace of God. Amen. I've already said, Lord, I don't know what's going to be, but I know it's going to be you. No matter. I love that old boy, but if he don't want to stand with me, that's all right. The way I'll go. You know, I stand here and look at the precious people that are on my side. And Paul said, all in Asia have forsaken me. How could they forsake that man? He told them the truth. And he gave his life in the balance to tell them the truth. Well, let's pray. On my left, do you need prayer? In this middle section. Over here on my right. Father, this is your precious people. Your children. And Jesus, they're bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. And you've got a wonderful, wonderful purpose in every life that is here. And if there is such a thing as that purpose won't be worked out, it will simply be because they have set their will against your will. You are not willing to see any man perish. It is your will to see all men saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. But Lord, we don't know what these people are going to do. Help them. Throw the balance in Jesus' name.